It's usually our first class, and we really just laid some foundation. We got a little bit into the book, the first couple of pages. And you'll find out, as we've said, that we're going very slow. And we'd like to take today, as well as this past Tuesday, just to continue to lay a little foundation. Next week in the classes, we'll be able to pretty much open it up a little bit more, that you'll have more ability to respond, ask questions. So if we can today, pretty much, let's just continue to lay a little foundation, and then next week we can respond back and forth a little bit more. The School of Christ. We talked about Tuesday of how the School of Christ is centered around knowing the person of Jesus. Let me just go back just briefly. That the whole, not just this book, but the School of Christ, the whole Christianity is centered around knowing the person of Jesus, not just knowing about Him, which we realize is a lot of popular Christianity, and we're not here to compare churches or quote-unquote individuals, but most popular Christianity is knowing a lot about the Lord. But as you really study the Gospels and the Epistles, that's not what it's about. It's not about knowing about Him, but it's knowing Him as a person. For He's not someone that was and now is not. He was and He still is. He was dead, He was buried, but He was resurrected and He's alive. And He's as much a person today as we are standing or sitting. I believe there's a person in heaven just as real today as I am standing here before you. There's a person in heaven just as real as the doll that sits there in that seat today. And we can know Him in a very personal way. And so the School of Christ, this class, the whole underlying foundation and also our Christianity, be it when we pray or when we come to church or in our daily lives, the whole basis of Christianity is that we can know a person. We can fall in love with that person. We can respond to that person. We can have fellowship with that person. We can be intimate with that person. We can know Him. He knows our heartbeat, and He knows our cry. He knows our needs. He knows our joys. He knows our failures. He knows our past dreams, our failures, etc. He knows those things. And we can learn His heart as well. We can know Him as a person. Now, if you'll truly pray over that and let the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, deal with your heart about that, Christianity becomes something so alive in your life that you will grow just as natural as a child in the natural grows. You will not stay stagnant. You will not stay immature, but you'll see your life progress because He's a person that you get to know. And He's also God, that He reveals Himself to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. He teaches us His nature, His character. He gives to us the fruits of His Spirit. He gives us the fruits of His nature that we may grow thereby. And so if you'll embrace this, the knowing Him versus knowing about Him, you will see a tremendous growth in your life over the months and over the years. You'll grow because you'll get to know this person. Otherwise, you'll go to church, you'll sing the songs, you'll get excited occasionally, and you'll get down occasionally, and you'll be the proverbial merry-go-round, the roller coaster, and your life will be saved 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, and you look back and you really and truly you don't see any growth. You don't see maturity. Well, if you had a child in the natural that at 10 years of age was like he was when he was two, you'd have carried him to every specialist in the world. But yet, we as Christians, we just continue drudging on and wonder what's wrong with God. There's nothing wrong with God. Not at all. He's endeavoring by the Spirit to reveal to us a person. And I'm telling you that once you know Him a little bit, you want to know Him a little bit more. And once you know Him a little bit more, you want to know Him a little bit more. And the Holy Spirit is there to attest to you who He is. So, we laid a little foundation of the School of Christ, this class, as well as the school that He brings all of His disciples into, is very simply getting to know Him and not knowing about Him, but knowing Him and knowing who He is. He said here, as a matter of fact, let's go back and read the bottom of page 7 and bring us into where we're at today. The bottom of page 7, the last paragraph, it says, "So for this little while we are to be occupied with the School of Christ, into which He brought the 12 whom He chose, that they might be with Him and that He might send them forth." Once again, notice that Jesus, He brought them into the school. We said that He was determined. Thank God He's determined. The Holy Spirit is determined to those that He sees that bend, He hears the faintest of cries. God will come. And so once again, it's not on God's part that we do not mature or grow. It's on the part of the child of God that does not yield or surrender. We all have our problems. So it's not that my problems are worse than Tim's or Tim's problems are worse than Anthony's. It's a matter of submitting and yielding. And that bend toward Him, God is bigger than all of our problems put together. So we can't use the excuse, I have this problem, you have that problem. if he hears the faintest of cries, and that's all through the Word of God, that he'll run. He will literally run to the cry. Now, we're not talking about a mere man running to our cry. We're talking about God running to our cry. And I see in the Word of God that every time God moves, some tremendous things happen. Amen? And the same is true with us. So he is determined to bring us into this school. You see, you can relax in that. And that word relax is a poor word, but you can rest in that. You can rest in the fact that Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, is determined to bring you into a revelation of himself. He's determined. It's not on your strength. It is not based on your ability or your strength. This is the school of Christ that he is determined to bring his disciples into. So the work is on his part. Our part is to yield and to submit to the grace that we've learned here comes with the desire and comes with the strength. It's all coming from heaven, that sound from heaven. And within that is the desire, the strength, the ability, the power, the call. It's all there. We yield, we submit, we surrender, we give up the fight. Amen. We give up the ship. All right, we give up the ship. We cut this cord and we give up the ship. And we let God lead and guide us. That's a hard thing sometimes for individuals to do. But I'm telling you, God is drawing his disciples. He's determined to bring his own. And he said it here in Mark 3, we just read it, that they might be with him and that he might send them forth. Once again, this is so that he can send you forth. He's bringing you into this school not just to make you a better Christian. This is not just making Teresa or Ricky a better, or Rick a better Christian. It is about that, being a better Christian, but it's also that he might send you forth, that he might send you forth. And we've been talking here that the pot of oil is in the house. And that widow woman, and I'm not going to keep referring back to what we're sharing in the sanctuary, but the widow woman had the pot of oil in the house. And if you'll stop to think, everything she needed to meet the creditors and to live was in her house when the prophet got there. But she didn't know how to use it. It was all there. The prophet didn't bring a thing with him that she didn't already have. Nothing. Not one thing. If you're saved and born again, it's in your house. It's in your house. But what God is going to do through the school of Christ is teach you how to apply it, how to use it, how to let it flow through your heart. Not just this class, but every day of your life. Not just all of a sudden we've got this class and now we're going to, boom, we're going to learn it. It's just a part of the process. Amen? But he's going to teach you how to let that pot of oil flow and to come forth, the mercy of the graces. So he might, what? Send you forth. We are never to be Christians that sit stagnant, come to church and learn and get puffed up with knowledge. That is not Christianity. We come that we may go and give it out to your neighbors. You're a missionary. Every one of you missionaries. Every one of you are supposed to be missionaries. Every one of you are commanded of God to be ministers of reconciliation. That's not just hugging necks in the church. I mean, that's your neighborhood is a mission field. You are to go forth. You may not be a part of the fivefold calling. So I said all that to say that this school that he brings us into is not just to make us better Christians, but that he can equip us, fill us, that we can go forth and be an example, that we may bring other disciples into the kingdom of God, that his kingdom may grow and advance. And so that's what we talked about Tuesday. The preeminence is the fact that he wants us to know him, not just about him, but to know him as a person. And I don't know of a better person to get to know than the man that loved you enough to die for you, even though he knew you. And we can go down the road, Charlie, Lorena, in our lost state, Pastor, in our lost state, he knew you. He knew every man in his sinful ways, but he chose to die for us. He knows us and he still loves us today. He knows those secret thoughts in your mind. He knows every motive you have, good, bad, or indifferent. He knows every one of them. But it does not affect his love towards you one iota. It doesn't go up. It doesn't go down. His love is not less today because you had a bad thought this morning. His love is not less today because you didn't pray this morning like you should. His love is not less today because that man murdered the woman down the street somewhere. His love is no less. Because that man knew you when he died for you. He knows you today. And he loves us. Now, why shouldn't we desire to get to know a man that loves me like that? I should get to know him. Not about him. Not quote scriptures and all this other stuff that we can do. And it's good in itself. But if we don't, if the foundation, if all that is not birthed from a foundation of knowing him, we all know it becomes nothing more but than religious activities, religious works. And it brings no glory to him. Now, okay, are we settled with that? Knowing him. We want to know him. Amen. That's the first thing. We're going to get that foundation. Many of you know that. You've heard it here. But we've got to establish that, and then we're going to say, Lord, now I'm standing on that foundation. I want to know Him. I'm in the school of Christ now. You've brought me into the school of Christ. I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm still not quite understanding all why You would do that for me, but I'm sure glad You did. I understand it's because that God so loved the world that He gave His Son, and I'm a recipient of all that love and all that Son and all that grace, and I'm excited about it, okay? Now, I'm going to stand on the fact that in this kingdom, I need to know that man that died for me. I don't want to just know about him. I don't want to just read some scriptures about him. I'm going to do that, but I'm going to stand on the foundation that I want to know this man. I want to know that man that's in heaven right now that's praying for me. I want to have an open heaven with him as Saul of Tarsus did, as those other men of God that I sensed that Stephen had, that he's there. And I know he's there. That he's as real to me today as he was to Peter when he walked on the earth by the Holy Ghost. He can make him just that real to you. And so we're on that foundation. Now, we can choose, before I move on, we can choose in Christianity to live as Ephraim said, a half-baked Christianity, where we choose to be one thing on one side and something else on the other, where we choose to say, well, that's too demanding. You know, I got a life I want to live. I got things I want to do. I got things I want to experience. So I want enough of the Lord to make it to heaven, and I want to still do my thing. Those people never make it to heaven. Are you hearing me now? Are you with me? This Christianity is about making Jesus not only your Savior, but your Lord. Okay? He don't ask for some of it. He wants it all. All right? So I'm not here today. I'm smiling at you, but we're not here with some easy, breezy, graceful Christianity that we're just here and hope and we can do the best we can and He'll just pick us up and just, His grace is sufficient. But we need to make a choice in our lives that we want the Christianity that says, Jesus died for me. I owe it all to Him. I'm in this Christianity and I stand on the foundation that the Holy Spirit wants to teach me how to know Him. I stand on that. I want to give it all to Him. How are we going to ever apologize for all those that's gone before us that gave their very life's blood, gave everything they had? How are we ever going to apologize to them when we get to heaven, when we've chosen to serve Him in a different manner than even what the Word of God says? I don't want to be in that line to have to try to apologize to those that's gone before us. And I probably wouldn't be if that was my attitude. Amen. But I'd rather choose now in my weakness and my frailties and my faults, say, Lord, I may have all those, but I also have within me the Spirit of God, the grace of God that's drawing me on. I'm on a foundation. Don't want to know about Him. I want to know Him. And I stand today want to know the person of Jesus Christ. Okay? So that's our foundation. All right? Now, what's the first thing He's going to do once we establish that foundation? Let's go to page 8, and you see the heading, the object of our schooling is first comprehensively presented, okay? Let's read that first couple of sentences, or first sentence here, all right? Let's look at the first thing the Holy Spirit does. This is the first thing the Holy Spirit's going to start doing. Coming to this school, the very first thing the Holy Spirit, the great teacher and interpreter, does for us, and notice the Holy Spirit's the teacher, and He interprets. He will interpret. He will give you revelation. He will give you illumination of the Word of God. And you'll find out as we go through this, we'll stop here because and these comments we're making is very important because it's what the school does. The Holy Spirit, He says here, is the teacher and the interpreter. The Holy Spirit illuminates and reveals to us the Word of God. And as we read the Word of God, look for Jesus. Look for Jesus in the Word. And as you look for Him, as you determine to look for Christ, it's like looking for that coin that's lost in the house. And that's what you're looking, okay? It's like looking that proverbial needle in the haystack. That's what you're looking. And it may seem occasionally at times that that's about what it is, the needle in the haystack. But listen, that's on the natural side. But in all that you have, if you'll say, when I read the Word, when I pray, when I come to the house of God, when I live my daily life, I want to see Jesus. The Holy Spirit will come, be it reading the Bible, and He'll begin to illuminate and to reveal to you the person of Jesus Christ. In everything, you'll begin to see the person of Christ, okay? He's the teacher and the interpreter. Coming to school, the very first thing the Holy Spirit does for us, if we are truly brought under His hand. Notice this phrase, if. We are truly brought under His hand. Now, the question to us today is, are we coming under the hand of the Holy Spirit? Or do we come under His hand when it's convenient? Are you with me now? Or do we totally subject ourselves to the Lordship of Christ and to the dealings of the Holy Spirit? And what he is speaking about here in this school are those that will say, Lord, I want to come under your hand. Not only, as we talked about last night, the crises or the point of need, but I want to be totally under your hand, to be led of you, to be taught of you, to be prompted of you, to be schooled by you. And that's a big question in our lives. Are we truly coming under his hand? So if we are truly brought under his hand. Now, isn't it good to be under the hands of a man that has all the resources? Look here. Isn't it amazing to be under the hand of a man that has all the resources that you have need of? When you come under his hand, everything you have need of is in his hands. Everything that you have need of is in his hands. But not only what you have need of is in his hands or under his hands, but now you are under his hands alongside all the resources that you have need of. And he's well capable of providing every need that you have. All right. So to those that come under the hand, under his hand, his first objective is to show us in a comprehensive way what it is that we have to learn, to present to us the great object of our education. All right. Let me read that again. If you choose to come under his hand in the school of Christ, in this way of life that he is bringing us into, if you choose to come under his hand, then the Holy Spirit, the great teacher and interpreter, the illuminator, the revealer, he shows us in a comprehensive way what it is. That just simply means a detailed way. Notice this, a detailed way. That means the Holy Spirit's not going to come and he's going to say, now, Melissa, I want you and Teresa, I just want you to have a good conversation today. And we're going to hope that we can try to find the Lord, and we'll learn a little here and a little there. And, you know, I just won't show you too much, but, you know, I hope that in the sweet by and by, you'll get to know the person of Christ. No, he's saying that those that come under his hand, he will in a detailed and comprehensive way show you the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. A detailed and a comprehensive way. That's just like when you, Tim would give Andrew a model, and he's got some more models he's putting together. And in a model or anything that you get, it's got instructions. Well, those models have got probably 30 or 35, you know, places that you, number one, number two, number three. And it's a detailed instruction that if you'll follow that instruction, then that model will be put together. It'll be painted, all the details will be there, and it'll look nice. Well, it's the same in serving Christ. We didn't come here hoping that we can make this thing. God didn't save us that hoping we could learn something about his son and hoping the dog could find a good book somewhere on some shelf that maybe would reveal to him who this Jesus is. That's not it at all. The dog can say, I'm going to get under the hand of the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to stay right under his hand. Good, bad, ugly, indifferent. I'm going to come right under his hand. And as I'm under his hand, the Holy Spirit very detailed and comprehensively is going to show me step by step the person of Jesus Christ. That's a promise of the Word of God. That is the Word of God. That's the whole attitude of the Word of God. That we don't have to happen by happen chance or hope so or hit and miss type Christianity, hit and miss. Well, I hope I hit it. I missed it. No, the Holy Ghost, if you'll come under his hands, he will in a very detailed and comprehensively way present to us the great object of our education. Now, what is the object of our education? Go to Matthew 3 again. This is where we stopped at yesterday. Or this is the scripture we read Tuesday, I should say. Matthew 3:17. Just turn there and look at it in your Bible. A low voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son. A voice from heaven, the voice of God when Jesus was getting baptized with John, saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Okay? So we touched on the point that the Holy Spirit is going to very comprehensively and in a detailed way show us, teach us to know the person of Jesus Christ. And we talked about that God said that Jesus pleases him. All right? So what we have now is under the hand of the Holy Spirit, we have the Holy Spirit teaching us to know that thing, that person that pleases God to the fullest. Everything about Jesus pleases God. In his son in whom he is well pleased. So as I come under the hand of the Holy Spirit and I allow the Holy Spirit to teach me to know him, everything that the Holy Spirit leads me into, draws me into, every point, every detail, I don't have to wonder any iota in my mind, does it please God? It all pleases God. Every bit of it. Because Jesus is his beloved son. Now, turn to Ezekiel. Chapter 40, we're going to see this. Ezekiel chapter 40. And let's see how the Lord does this. Ezekiel 40. Are you with me so far? Everybody with me? What's the first thing we want to know about him? We want to know him. Do we want to know Jesus? Well, let me ask you a question. Why do we want to know him? Because what's the relationship the Father has as far as his attitude? What's the Father's attitude toward Jesus? He does what? He what? He pleased by him. Okay, he pleased by him. So we want to know about him, or do we want to know him? Do we want to come to church anymore just to hear about him, get excited and shout, or we want to know him? All right, now, whose hand are we going to come under? Is the Holy Spirit going to have, is the Holy Spirit got a hit and miss attitude? What's he got? Detailed, comprehensive. I mean, thorough. I mean, and we fail to read the instructions, put the thing together, take it apart, and do it again. And I'm telling you, we've all laughed at that because we get those appliances and we say we read the instructions last. And we laugh, but sad to say, after 2 years, 5 years, 10 years of serving the Lord, that's where a lot of Christians are at. They fail to truly read the instructions and get under the hand of the Holy Spirit, and they find themselves just as immature now as they were then. That's no reflection on anyone here. If you find yourself in that state, thank God he's drawing you now, but you need to really rise up. But we need to read the instructions because the Holy Ghost is detailed. Amen. He says, I want to tell you about Jesus. He pleases my Father. He pleases God. And anything, Holy Ghost, he ain't got to be concerned. Anything he brawls Rick into that's about Jesus, Rick can stand on both feet flat-footed to the devil. Said, it pleases God. It pleases God. It pleases God. But we've got to come under the hand of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me give you an example of he talked about of how that he, the object of our education, notice he said to present to us the great object of our education. He's going to present to us the object of our education, which is what? Jesus. The object of our education is Christ, Jesus, knowing him, okay? Now, let me give you an example of how he does it. Ezekiel chapter 40, all right? In the 25th year of our captivity, this was the first captivity of Israel, when God, with his chastening hand, came to bring them into, it was a time of correction. This is Ezekiel speaking here. In the beginning of the year, the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year, after that, the city was smitten in the selfsame day. The hand of the Lord was upon me and brought me thither. Now notice something here. Israel was in captivity, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time with that. But Israel was in captivity for their iniquity and their sins. Yet the hand of the Lord was still upon the righteous. Notice this. They're in bondage. They're in captivity. But the hand of the Lord is still upon the prophet Ezekiel, that he may still, listen, instruct the people. Even though they had gone into iniquity, idolatry, adultery, and once again, this is not some out to do those things, God forbid, but the people were in sin, but yet God came with his chastening rod to correct them because of their sin, and yet the hand of the Lord was still upon a man, a prophet, to he might lead the people and show them the object of their education, to show them what they could have if they were totally come to him. All right? So his hands upon Elijah, or Ezekiel, in the visions of God, brought he me into the land of Israel and set me upon a very high mountain. Now, wonder why he put him on a very high mountain. Because he wanted him to be able to see everything below it. You saw, that's not very important. It's very important. He put him on a very high mountain. If he'd put him on a lower mountain, he might have missed something that he would have seen on the high mountain. And the point here is that Jesus wanted Ezekiel to see everything. And the point that we're making today is that if you'll come under the hand of the Holy Spirit in this lifetime and the lifetime you have to come, I'm promising you that he'll show you everything. He don't want you to miss a thing about the person of Jesus Christ. Nothing. Nothing. Okay? In the vision of God brought he me into the land of Israel, set me upon a very high mountain, by which was at the frame of a city on the south. In other words, it was over the city. There was a city on the south he wanted to see. He brought me thither, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of brass, with a line of flax in his hand and a measuring reed, and he stood in the gate. Now, who was this man? It was Jesus. This man was Jesus Christ. He was drawn to this place by the Lord, and here he finds this man. Now, can you picture this? He's on a high mountain, and Jesus Christ is here, like the appearance of brass with a line of flax in his hand, a measuring reed, and he stood in the gate. Here's the man, Jesus Christ, all right? And the man said unto me, Son of man, behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears, set thy heart upon all that I shall show thee. For to the intent that I might show them unto thee art thou brought hither, declare all that thou seest to the house of Israel. Now, this is a type of the church. But yet today in the dispensation we live in, the Holy Ghost comes just like Christ did here to show them the house, the temple. The Holy Ghost comes to show us the person of Christ. So you see here, the man comes to Ezekiel. He puts him on a high mountain and he says, see with thy ears or eyes, hear with thine ears and set thy heart upon all I shall show thee. Notice this. See with your eyes, hear with your ears and set your heart upon it. That's what Christ did for Ezekiel. He wanted him to hear with his ears, set his eyes upon it, and to hear with his, and to receive with his heart, to know with his heart, to set his heart upon it. That's what the Holy Ghost wants you to do when he shows you Jesus. He wants you to see him with your eyes, hear him with your ears, and to set your heart upon Jesus Christ. Set your heart upon him. That's what the Holy Ghost wants you to do. Now go to Ezekiel 43. He took him to the top of the mountain. In Ezekiel 43, notice this, and then we're going to get into the book and read what Brother Sparks says about this. Verse 10. Now, this is just a continuation. Thou son of man, he's talking to Ezekiel, show the house to the house of Israel. Now listen, look here. He took Ezekiel to the top of the mountain to show Ezekiel the house. Now, who does he tell Ezekiel to show the house to? The house of Israel. That they might be ashamed of their iniquities and let them measure the pattern. In other words, he wants to show them the house that they may be ashamed of their iniquities. What did he show Isaiah? Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. And when he saw Christ compared to himself, he said, woe is me, I am undone. He was ashamed of his iniquities compared to Christ. Amen? And so here, Ezekiel has been shown the house, the pattern, the tabernacle, the temple. Now, he says, you show this to the house of Israel. Well, who were these folks? These were the folks that were in captivity. These were the folks that had committed idolatry. These were the folks that had turned away from God. But God is reaching back. God is drawing them back to himself. So he shows the man of God the house. He said, now I want you to show Israel that has sinned the house. And when they see the house, they'll be ashamed of their iniquities. Amen? But it wasn't to condemn them. It was to bring them back to a realization of the house that they might live there. He wanted them there. Look at verse 11. And if they be ashamed of all that they have done, show them the form of the house. And the fashion, and the goings out, notice the detail, and the comings in, and all the forms thereof, and all the ordinances thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the laws thereof. I want to read that again. Notice what he said, show them. Notice the detail. Show them the form of the house, the fashion, the goings out, the comings in, all the forms, all the ordinances, all the forms, all the law thereof, and write it in their sight, that they may keep the whole form thereof and all the ordinances thereof and to do them. If that was the Old Testament, that's Jesus showing Ezekiel the temple. How much more do we in the dispensation of the Holy Ghost when we have the Holy Ghost determined to reveal to us the person of Jesus Christ who is well pleasing to the Father? How much more should we desire to come to the mountain under the hand of the Holy Spirit and let us look down? He says, there's Christ. There's him. I want you to know everything about him. I'm going to write it in your heart. I'm going to put it before your eyes. I'm going to put it in your ears. I'm going to stir your heart about it that you'll embrace him and be able to live and to know him. Not about him, but to know him. So shouldn't we want to come under that hand? Shouldn't we? Shouldn't we want to come to the high mountain, not middle way, low valley, and always trying to look up and find him? Oh, I can't never find him. Poor old me. Woe is me. You know, I've got my problems and I'll just never find Christ. No, ma'am. We're going to come under the hand of the Holy Spirit and say the Holy Spirit is able to teach us everything about the person of Christ. Okay, now, with that in mind, let's see what Brother Sparks says about all this. Okay? Let's pick up on page 8. We just read to you that first sentence. We'll start again. Right in the middle of the book, under the object of our school. Let's start right here. Coming to this school, the very first thing that the Holy Spirit, the great teacher and interpreter, does for us, if we are truly brought under His hand, is to show us in a comprehensive or a detailed way what it is that we have to learn, to present to us the great object of our education. We read those passages in Ezekiel, which we just read, which I think have a great bearing upon this matter. In a day... And notice the timing here. In a day when the true expression of God's thought in the midst of His people had been lost. So the true expression of God's thought, God's heart, and what that is saying to us, we that are endeavoring to walk in the Spirit, that God brings us to a place that we to a degree, know the thoughts and the heart of God. He wants us to know His voice. He wants us to walk in what He's doing. So in a day when that was lost, away in that far country, the Spirit of God laid His hand upon the prophet. He took him in the Spirit, in the visions of God, back to Jerusalem, and set him upon a high mountain, and gave him that presentation of a new temple. Now the old temple there, destroyed, and here is a new temple that God is going to build. And so the people are in captivity, and so He shows Ezekiel the vision of the new temple, which would come forth, or which forth from, would flow a river of life to the ends of the earth. Now think about this. Here they are in captivity, having sinned. They're in captivity. But God says His thought and His heart to the people are this: I want to bring them into a new house where there'll be a river of life flowing. And so they don't know anything about it. They have the foggiest idea of what that's all about. So God goes get Ezekiel. He puts Ezekiel on that high mountain. He says, you look here over this city, and I'm going to show you all the details, the forms, the ordinances, the law. I'm going to show it all to you. That I want you to go back, and I want you to tell the people about it. That's what the Holy Ghost is doing. Jesus died, buried, ascended, went back with nails scarred. And you think about this. He went back to heaven to the Father. The Father had the gift. It was the gift of the Father, the gift of the Holy Spirit. He went back to heaven with the nail scars in His hands, and they're there today. That's the only thing in heaven made by man. We've heard that, is the nail scars that man put in the hands of Christ. He goes to the Father, and He reaches out for the gift to people that had just crucified Him. He sends back the gift of the Holy Ghost to those disciples in the upper room, and that gift would flow through the streets of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the world to a people that had cursed and crucified Him. Okay? That gift of the Holy Ghost is in the earth today. It's in the world today. And to every man, woman, boy, and girl that will say, I want to come under His hand, and you were in the worst of sins, the worst of iniquities, I'm going to come under the hand, or you are a type of an Ezekiel that's been taken to the top of the mountain, and you look down and say, there's the city. Now I want you to know everything about it, that you can experience this river of life that's going to flow. That's who He is. That's what He's trying to do in our lives. Now, bring Him to the new temple, forth from which will flow a river of life to the ends of the earth. Then He followed this up by going into the whole thing in the most minute detail. Now, if you would read chapters 41, 42 in Ezekiel there, you would find Him just going into detail about the house, the east, the west, the north. I mean, all the ordinances, the door, the windows. I mean, He just details it. And that's how He does for you. Your doors, your windows, everything about your life. He details it. Everything about Christ, He details it. He followed up by going to the minute detail and later instructed the prophet to show the house to the house of Israel with a view to bringing about a recovery of spiritual life in conformity to that great comprehensive and detailed revelation of God's thought that they first of all shall be ashamed. First of all, they had to be ashamed. They had to turn from their sins. They had to turn from iniquity. And then He showed them the house. He showed them the house that they might have a recovery of spiritual life in conformity to that detailed revelation. And so that's what He does. He wants to give us a recovery of spiritual life that it might conform to that the Holy Spirit is showing us. And the Holy Spirit wants to show you Christ. It's not hit and miss. He wants to show you Christ. And then He wants your life conformed to what you see, to what you hear, to what your heart is set upon. He wants it conformed to that because that pleases God. It pleases God. So everything I allow the Holy Spirit to conform me to be like Christ to pleases God. Everything. It pleases God. Now, it's a much disputed matter. Let me just read through this. We're not going to get into this. It's a much disputed matter whether the temple of Ezekiel will yet literally be set up upon the earth. We'll not argue about that. But of this one thing we need have no question. That all that Ezekiel saw had its spiritual counterpart and fulfillment in the church, which is His body. Spiritually, it is all in Christ. Now, all this has its counterpart of us being the church. And God's method with His people in order to secure a full expression of His thought is first of all to present the perfect object. And this He did when at the Jordan He rent the heavens and said, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So what he's given us is example. Ezekiel was carried to the mountain to see the temple. He said, show the temple to Israel that they might live again in this temple where the river of life will flow. That's what he saw. So God says, this is what I want you to see, my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Ezekiel showed Israel a temple. I, through the Holy Spirit, is going to show you my Son, and I want you to see him, and I'm going to have a detailed, comprehensive working in your life to show you the person of Jesus Christ, that you might know him. Just like Ezekiel looked down and saw that city in a vision, I'm going to show you my Son, and I am well pleased with him. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He presented and attested that which was the, look at this, he presented and attested that which was the full, comprehensive, and detailed expression of his thought for his people. Now, if you'll grab a hold of that, it's very simple. Read it again. He presented and attested that which was the full, comprehensive, and detailed expression of his thought for his people. In Ezekiel's day, God's thought and God's heart was, Ezekiel, now listen very carefully, they're in that faraway country, they're in captivity and bondage, but my thought, God's thought for his people was to show them the house, to show them the temple that they might live there. He showed Ezekiel the house. He said, now go tell Israel. That's my object for them. That's my thought. I want to see the house. Now, today, in the dispensation of the Holy Ghost, he sent his Son. He so loved the world, he gave his Son. His Son came, surrendered to God's will. He died on a cross for our sins. He rose from the dead. He ascended back to the Father. Now God is saying this, my object, my thought, my heart. Listen to this. God's thought and God's heart toward Rick, toward Brian, toward Anthony, toward every man, woman, boy, and girl, lost, saved, or otherwise. His thought is now, I want to present to you Jesus Christ. I want you to know him. I want you to know him. And I'm not just going to save you and put you down here and hope you can learn about him. I'm going to send the gift of the Holy Ghost back. And if you'll come under his hand, it'll be as real to you as it was Ezekiel on that mountain. I'll show you every detailed, comprehensively about this person. And let me tell you, the more you know about him, the more you want to know about him. And the more you know him, the more you love him. And the more you love him, the more you want to love him. And the more you love him, that love begins to constrain you, that you don't want the world, nothing in the world, nothing of the world. You don't want self to be glorified, self to be seen. You don't want religion. You want Jesus. That's all you want, Jesus. Oh, you're going to be, I'm going to be fanatical. I'm going to be different. I'm going to be peculiar. I don't know about fanaticism and all that, but you will be peculiar. You will be a strange, as far as the world's concerned, and you will be different. You know, there's nothing wrong with being different. A lot of people are ashamed of being different. You ought not be ashamed of being different from the world. Not better than, different. Peculiar too. Strangers to the world. And you will be. And the more you know him, the more you'll love him, the more you'll want him. And that love begins to constrain your life. And it's no longer do's and don'ts. I just don't want to anymore. A world of difference. A whole world of difference. Now we can choose to come here, read this Bible, do all the right things, and get all our legalistic do's and don'ts down. And we walk so holy and so spiritual, and we know nothing about the person of Christ. But on the other side of that coin, I'm going to come under the hand of the Holy Spirit that knows everything about Christ and has got a cry in his heart to teach each one of us a detailed account of who he is. So I come under that hand and he begins to teach me. And through knowing him, I begin to break away, totally break away from the world. And I don't go every day, and I'm going to say this again, I don't go every day just oohing and aahing. Everything in me wants the world. No, no. Everything in you can start wanting Jesus. That's not Christianity, that God, you know, he just keeps us away from the mud. Oh, I'm just in the mud. Oh, I'm just taking. No, that's not Christianity. Christianity is coming under the hand of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost said, I'll show you something better than all that. And you just want to know all about Christ. And so that's where he's brought us. That's where he's bringing us. He's presenting to us his thought. You don't know what the thought of God is? You don't know what the heart of God is? The heart of God is for Rick to know his Son. That's the heart of God. And God says, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost to teach him. Detailed. For Mr. Oz to know detailed points about Jesus. How did, I can't understand. Why would he do that for me? What was he thinking? What was his heart? What was his heart? Why did he do that for me? I mean, what is his heart? And I believe as we read and we study and we pray and we meditate, the Holy Spirit will begin to reveal to us his heart, his thoughts. And you say, boy, ain't he good? Ain't he good? Ain't he good? And old devil slides in, oh, don't you want that? Oh, I've just seen this. I've seen this. I'm learning something about his heart. I don't want that. I don't want to be religious. I'm knowing him. I'm getting to know him. And I'm still in his hand. Holy Ghost didn't leave me. He's got a lot more to teach me. I'm in a school because I've been born again. And I'm coming into school. And when I'm not determined, the Holy Ghost is. He was determined to bring me into school. And I'm going to stay in this school. All right? So the first object is that he gives us his thought, his heart. And that is for us to know Jesus. And I know I'm repeating myself, and that's fine. But I want it driven home that he wants you to know him. The Holy Ghost wants to teach you. And so he gives us a detailed expression of his thought, which is to know his son. The Apostle Paul, in words familiar to us, expressly voices the fact, and you see this in Romans 8:29, it's in the book, whom he foreknew, he also foreordained to be conformed to the image of his son. Or you get this, whom he foreknew. Did he foreknow you? In your sins. Did he foreknow you? Did he forsake you? No, he died for you. Died for you when you're in your sins. Whom he foreknew, he also foreordained. He foreordained. By sending back the power of the Holy Spirit, he said, I foreordained that if you'll come under the hands of the Holy Spirit, I have foreordained that you be conformed to the image of my Son. Now, notice this, if you'll catch this, now he's moved beyond just knowing him. He says, I want you to know him, but I've foreordained that you be conformed to him, to his image. You get that? That's beyond just knowing him. That's the work being done, that you're conformed to his image. So what he's saying is the Holy Ghost not only determined for Dahl to know him, but for Dahl in every area of his life to be conformed to him. That means the Holy Ghost is going to do some workings. Determined. But you got to stay in his hands. You got to stay in his hands. And he will conform us. And we just conform us to the image of his son. And get this. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Conform to the image of his son. Once again, this is my beloved son. That's the object. That's the heart, the thought of God. This is my beloved son whom I am well pleased. Conform to the image of his son. So what he's saying simply once again, this is the object of my heart. This is the thought of my heart. This is him. He pleases me. Come under the hand of the Holy Spirit. I want you to know him. And as you know him, I'll conform every part of your life. And see, those things are not separated. A part of knowing him is being conformed to him. A part of knowing him is being conformed to him. So what I'm saying is this, as you purpose to come under the hand of the Holy Spirit in this school, as you purpose to know him, there's a work of grace going on in your heart even as you get to know him that is conforming every part of your life to be like him. That means there's going to be change taking place. Change. That means, as Peter said, virtue and knowledge and patience and temperance and love and all these things are being added to your life as you simply stay under the Holy Spirit's hand just to get to know him. Many times we don't know what we have need of in our lives, but as we stay under the hand of the Holy Spirit to get to know Christ, then the grace of God is adding virtue to temperance, to patience. Why? Because God said, my thought is not only for you to know him, but to conform to him. And you can't do it in your own strength, so I'll send the grace and the Holy Ghost not only to Rick to know him, but to be made like him. That's the Word of God. That's Christianity. That's the school of Christ that we're all brought into that are born again. Not by our own merits, our own strength, our own willpower, our own desire, no. But he is determined to bring us into this school. Now, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, conformed to the image of his son. There is the presentation and the attestation and the declaration of divine purpose in relation to him. The presentation, the attestation, and the declaration of divine purpose. That's it. Divine purpose. Divine thought is what? That I know him and I'm conformed to him. Therefore, I repeat, the Holy Spirit's first object is to acquaint us with what is in view in our spiritual education. Namely, that he is to reveal Christ in us and then afterward to get to work to conform us to Christ. Hallelujah. He'll give you some time and you'll have joy unspeakable and full of glory. And you'll enjoy your salvation and you'll never stop. You should never stop enjoying your salvation. But I'm telling you, that same God that says, I want Ozzy to know Him, is determined to do a deep work in Ozzy's heart to conform him. And you'll start to sense, it may be a few months, I don't know when it is, but you're enjoying your salvation, you're excited about it, and that never ceases. But it's like something else, and I'll use this slang, something else has kind of kicked in here. Now God's digging deep. And I'm excited about my salvation. I'm joyful. But now God's digging deep and trying to change me. Do a work in my life. You see, we get rid of all the outward things. And I'm closing. We get rid of all the outward things. But what made you do those outward things? Now God's going to start dealing with the why you did it. The motive. What's in your heart. And He's going to start to uproot and change and conform it to the image of Christ. Not condemnation, not heaviness, no. But an uprooting in the things in your heart and plant the life of Christ there that you're conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. He foreordained for you to be conformed to His image. To learn Christ, we must first see Christ. That's the school of Christ, saints. That's what it's all about. The object is what? Jesus Christ. Whose hand must we come under? Is the Holy Ghost going to show us a detailed, comprehensive view of Christ? Is He determined? Now, what does he want us to, beyond knowing Him? What's the next step? We're going to be what? Conformed. We're going to know Him, but in the process of knowing Him, isn't there a process of being conformed? So have I got to sit back? I got to make sure. What is temperance? Oh, I got to study the doctrine of temperance, the doctrine of patience. I got to get. No. Open your heart up. Study the Word. Be open to Him on the mountain, looking down. Here's patience. It's all in Jesus. Let me show you joy. It's in Jesus. You want to show you rest? It's in my Son. Let me show you peace? It's in my Son. Let me show you how to be sanctified, justification. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. He's everything. It's all in Christ. Holy Ghost under His hand is showing us what justification is by showing us Jesus. He's showing us what sanctification is by showing us Jesus. It's all in Him. And He's conforming us to everything our eyes see, our ears hear, and our heart is set upon. He's conforming us to those things because it pleases God. That's the school of Christ, saints. That's what God is endeavoring to bring us into. Well, praise the Lord. We'll stop right there and we'll start back next Tuesday and we'll be on page 9 and we'll start on the mark of a life governed by the Holy Spirit. Now, you're going to find out, and it's going to be more than just reading this book, you're going to find out if your life is governed by the Holy Ghost. For if it is, if your life is governed by the Holy Ghost, you are in a more detailed and comprehensive way coming into a place of knowing more about Christ. And you'll still say with Paul that I may know Him even more. Is your life governed by the Holy Spirit? Let's stand. Praise God.